Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, what's some of the practical things that we need to look at if we want out of the mire, out of this mess, out of this, out of the path of destruction? And, you know, I mentioned just in the last show, just briefly, real quick, how, you know, I mean, the whistleblowers come out and say these things, and then they're set upon immediately because they're, you know, the value of looking at those videos, it's up on our autism page at Preparing You. At least it is today. It may be down at another time. They're going to eventually want to shut us up because we keep pointing out the problem. Now, you can get all worked up about what Bill Thompson tells you and about the CDC and, you know, shake your fist and everything, but you're a part of this. You're a part of this because you've been slothful. You haven't been diligent. Maybe you've been tribal. You know, you got your church, you know, the Mormon church or the Episcopal church or, you know, whatever church you belong to, Catholic church, whatever. This is all tribal stuff. Kingdom, there's only one church established by Christ. And I don't know if I could draw a ring around it. I can't even tell you exactly where it starts and stops. But this is what we're seeking to know, to be a part of. Christ is the one who determines whether you're a part of it or not. He's going to say to many of you who think because you go to some church, read the Bible, got your doctrine, that somehow you're saved because you believe in Jesus. And he's going to say, get ye away from me, ye workers of iniquity. And then you can explain to him how it says, it's not by works. The work you do is evidence of your lack of faith. The work you don't do is evidence of your lack of faith. Your lack of repentance. Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent of what? Change your mind about what? That's what repentance is, changing the mind. So what is it you have to change your mind about? Which doctrine are we talking about? Revelation 2:21. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Space, time. You have space. Reach out around you. That your arm reaches out, that's space. You're in space. We're all traveling in space on this prison planet where you are being tested. Go back to Revelation 2:19. I know thy works and charity. Revelation is talking about works. I know thy works and charity and service. How much service are you doing? You know, I mentioned in the last show that I met a rancher. And, you know, we're talking about ranching things. Cows and sheep and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I'm short-handed here. My grandkids are helping out. They're working in the barn. They're helping feed. They're helping fill water troughs. And it allows me to come here and talk to you. because I they're doing those chores for me. In modern society, people think it's a chore to make your bed. I says, the reason you make your bed is because you want to have breakfast. If you don't make your bed, you don't get no breakfast. Chores as something extra. It's like if you don't do your chores, this lamb dies. You don't do it right, this lamb dies. You know, this calf dies. You know, there's repercussions for your actions. And this is teaching them lessons. And this is why I'm talking to you, is that you're not learning your lessons. You're not doing your chores. Believing requires that you would desire to do your chores and do them well. Christ gave you chores, works to do, including charity, service, faith. And he goes on to say, and thy patience and thy works, he repeats. And the last to be more than the first. In other words, we got more works now than Israel did. Jesus raised the bar. Notwithstanding, he says, in Revelation, he's saying, you're doing good. But notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. You suffer means allow. To teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. We mentioned the Sisters of the Poor. We mentioned East Texas Baptist University. We mentioned Southern Nazarene University, Geneva College, all in that case of Zubik versus Burwell. They're all supposed to be part of the church. The church. But they aren't all that separate. They're arguing before the gods of this world, the supreme beings, you know, who are going to decide good and evil for them. How is it that they have the power to decide good and evil for them? It's because they have already coveted their neighbor's goods and become merchandise of the supreme beings. And is it not lawful for them to do with their own what they will? Yes, because they belong to that democracy. They have covenanted with it, with the gods of that democracy. I mean, that was one of the most astounding things, and for all the new listeners who haven't got this down, the gods many that Paul talks about are the ruling judges of societies. And they are ruling judges because you make covenants with them, contracts with them. Why do you do that? To obtain benefits from them. All those people I mentioned, they all get benefits from the world. They're not in the world only. They're of the world. They're not the church. They're of the world. They don't take care of the widows and orphans through faith, hope, and charity. They take care of widows and orphans through Social Security, which is something provided by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. Jesus said you were not to be that way. All those people are that way. Now, I can't actually say for sure with those poor sisters, the little sisters of the poor. I haven't looked at the rules of their order. But the hospitals they run, I'll bet you anything. Now this, I probably could say guarantee. I haven't actually looked at the paperwork, so I could be wrong. But I suspect that the reason those hospitals can stay afloat is because the patients in them are getting checks every month from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And without those checks, their hospital would close anyway. You see? Because their religion is not unspotted either. It may be closer, I don't know, than East Texas Baptist University or the Southern Nazarene University or Geneva College. I don't know. I don't know these people personally. I don't know how they're organized. But if their hospital is dependent upon checks from Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security checks from men who exercise authority, one over the other, then their religion, the visiting of the sick and the poor and the needy, is not unspotted. It's certainly not unspotted at all. And if they are dependent upon those checks, then personally, for their welfare, it's certainly not unspotted. And so, therefore, Justice Sotomayor is the god of their relationships and will decide what is good and evil for them. because they have been fornicating and eating things sacrificed unto idols. That's right. You see, all those benefits, the greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. You've heard that from me before, unless, of course, you're a new listener. I sent out a notice to the show to another group, and maybe some of them are listening in. But the reality is that that desire for benefits at the expense of your neighbor is what makes you merchandise. Peter said it. Paul said it. Jesus said it. The prophets all said it. I mean, David, what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. And Paul quotes David. You can't get clearer than that. So you're in the mire because of your covetousness, but also because of your sloth, because you say, oh, I'd like to come with you, but I'm busy. I got stuff to do for myself, for my family, for my tribe, for my whatever. You got to go do it for Christ. You got to seek righteousness, not your tribe, not your congregation, not your religious group, not any of those things. You have to put righteousness first. Remember Roger William, who founded the Rhode Island colony. He didn't like the way they were treating the American Indians, so he walked out of the camp in the middle of the winter and went and lived with the Indians. Wow. Tough. Tough guy. Made a moral decision. His loyalty was not to his tribe, but to righteousness. I don't know about the rest of his life, but that was pretty good. Where's your loyalty? To righteousness? Because in Revelation it talks about, you know, are you taking the benefits of that which was sacrificed to idols? Many of you can't survive without it. So what day will you fast so that you can contribute to a system that does not depend upon anything but free will offerings? What sacrifice are you making? What charity are you producing? Because if you don't start sacrificing your time, your energy, you know, whatever it is, you will not cast out the demons that have taken your lands. And you will be devoured. You know, the whole thing with Jezebel, cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave. How do you hide 100 prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? He spared them. Well, folks, this is a test. Are you one of those prophets? Are you going to be hid in the cave of the righteous? Because we know that Revelations talks later about people hiding in their dens, praying that the earth falls on them. Where are the righteous to hide when the days of calamity come? Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3:3. You better find the time to gather together and seek the righteousness of pure religion, of sacrificing your time, your energy for others. Or do not expect anybody to sacrifice themselves for you. Do not expect anyone to come for you. Do not expect anyone to offer you shelter, because you didn't have the time. You were too busy. You see, freedom is not free. Let's look at Exodus 18:21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them. Now, over them as rulers? No. This was long before kings. There were no kings, so they're not over them as rulers. They're over them as servants. We see the word rulers there, rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. But they're not really rulers. They're responsible for. There's several words that are translated into rulers. And Shem Resh is what we're talking about. And we can go into the letters and why they mean. But these are really the servants, because there were no kings. These aren't rulers as kings. Because later on, when people decide they want to have a king to exercise authority one over the other, a president, a prime minister, whatever you want to call them, to exercise authority. And that's what everybody is out there trying to elect their president, their king, for 4 years to rule over their neighbor and force their neighbor to do what they want. They themselves will be forced to do whatever he comes up with. And guess what? I don't care who you elect. He's not going to do what you thought he was going to do. And, you know, I've been watching elections for over half a century. And, you know, if you keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result, you're insane. You're not going to get what you expected. Nah, you can go do what you want. If you want to, you know, vote, go ahead. But let's not have any delusions that somehow or other your salvation is in electing a man. Until men change, the pathways of governments will not change. So what changes you? Gather together and start loving one another, doing those works of service one for another. Find the time to gather together. I'll quote you. It says, our kings and our God. Our king and our God. Now, who said that? I'm actually quoting from the Legends of the Jews. And why are they saying king and our God? Well, you know, the fact is Obama is a god. He's certainly an appointer of gods, which is a big debate, because he's going to appoint the ruling judges. And that's what the word God means, ruling judge. Who's your ruling judge? Is it the God of heaven, or is it Sotomayor and the other ruling judges of the Supreme Court? They're going to decide what is good and evil for you. And the reason they have that power is because you wanted the benefits that their system, their corporate system, offers you. And you didn't mind how you got them. You thought the end justified the means, and the end was that you were going to get these benefits. Now, some of you say, well, I don't want the benefits and all that. Okay, do you want to become the benefactors who don't exercise authority but exercise love for one another, service for one another, caring for one another? Because if you don't, I can't help you, because there is no other way to find a free society than to operate society freely. Freely giving, freely receiving. In order to do that, you need to know one another. You can't just hand a $20 bill out the car window because somebody has a sign that says, I need help. That's irresponsible. That's insane. That's crazy. It makes you feel good, but you're an idiot. That's insane. You have to get together and know one another and start caring about one another and get to know your minister. And that minister needs to get to know other ministers. And you need to communicate from congregation to congregation to find out if the ministers farther up the line are doing well. They did not do that in the days of Samuel. They knew there was corruption in the appeals courts of the land, which was the Levites, the cities of refuge, the cities of appeal is what you should call them. If you were convicted of a local crime by a local jury of your peers, you could flee, you could appeal to the Levites up this tens, hundreds, and thousands and say, I got a raw deal down here. And they can look at the case and they can say, well, I think this is a miscarriage of justice and we overruled the verdict. And you're saved. They overruled the verdict. It was an appeals court. That's what that was all about. It's all about government. And we can go into the details of that explanation. I know that's new to a lot of you. But if you think that somehow or other you could murder somebody, and if you were really a fast runner and you could get to this town and get there first, then they couldn't touch you. All y'all's free. I got to this. I mean, that's insane. Nobody's going to allow that. These were appeals courts, these cities of refuge. You would appeal up to them. There's 48 of them for all the tribes. That's all it was. It's government. That's what the Bible is talking about. It's not superstition. Now, there is a mystical side to all this. If you are covetous, if you are selfish, you are willing to bite your neighbor, you're going to be devoured. Because you're a zombie. And zombies devour other people. They bite you. See, that lady I talked about in the last show, that somebody did something that offended her, she didn't like, it made her impatient. It was turning her into a zombie. That anger was clouding her vision. So she could not see the truth before her. Your selfishness clouds your willingness to bite one another, clouds your perception. And it brings you into the mire. You will fall into the mire. You will be drawn into the mire because you're like a pig. You want to fill your belly. You want to make yourself comfortable. Anyway, in this, I'll finish that quote. Our King and our God, wherefore art thou in fear by reason of a little child? In other words, our King and our God is our Father, and we're like a little child. And Jesus said, call no man on earth Father, and we explain all that. There are myriad upon myriad of princes in thy realm, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, rulers of tens, and overseers without number. Let the pettiest of the princes go and fetch the boy and put him in prison. What boy were they talking about? Abraham. Abraham. They wanted to get him. Why? What was Abraham doing? Abraham, from his childhood, was going to see things that the dead can't see. And he was going to profess them. And he would eventually lead the people out of the bondage of that king and God. Moses did the same. Abraham left with many souls, it says. Moses left with many souls, and Christians left a system that was doomed to destruction. Now, today, you want to leave a system that is doomed to destruction. Cannot leave unless you start caring about one another. Jesus talks about putting your hand to the plow, and right at those same quotes that I said at the beginning of the last show. How many of you will take your hand off the plow? How many of you will falter? There were 12 apostles in the upper room, 120 names in the upper room. That means names. What is that? Names. That's something that's named, identified. Why 120? Because there's 10 per apostle. They were organizing themselves, and they went out, and thousands were baptized. As soon as they were baptized, they could no longer get the social welfare offered by the Pharisees through the government temple, so now they had to provide that social welfare in another way, through faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. And this began, this was repentance. Repent and get baptized. Get registered. You register yourself, and you can unregister yourself. When you register with the system of the Pharisees, you go into debt. Your Corban, your sacrifice will be compelled, and that system will make the Word of God to none effect. You want to make the Word of God to effect, you have to come together in a system. You have to find the time to come together in a system that operates by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. So I got questions that were asked of me, and we've been going through some of them during this series. And now I'm down in my notes here to another one. In Acts 1:15, it says, "In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples." These were the students of Christ who were studying to be the ministers of Christ, and said, and were appointed a kingdom by Christ, according to the text. And he said, the number of names together were about 120. So this is the organization. They stood up together. They backed one another. It's even as late as the 9th and 10th centuries, amongst the Lombard kings, there was something called deans, connected to 10 families. They had this word deans. The word originated from the Latin deaconus, which is a lot like deacon, which was actually a military term of the Romans in their Latin, because the Romans used a lot of Greek words. There was a thing called a decurius, was used in early writings as well. Deca and decate in the Greek. This is tens and tithes. This was a system used for thousands of years by men to organize free societies that were not rulers, but servants of the people. We're going to talk about how that worked and why that is the only way out for you today when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. So welcome back. So in this next half hour, we're going to have to look at how this all fits together and try to make sense out of this for our time. It's really so simple that if you want to force your neighbor, you will be forced. If you want to neglect your neighbor, you will be neglected. It's that simple. If you want to be a socialist and force your neighbor through men who call themselves benefactors, who exercise authority, you will be forced. If you do not want to take care of your neighbor voluntarily, your neighbor will not take care of you voluntarily. This is, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, I don't know a Republican who isn't a socialist, because they all believe in public education. You know, I mean, there's no turning away from it. So how does this kingdom of God, the question was written to me, what scripture shows that 10 elders chose a Levite, providing a network of charitable ministration? The word charity is not even in the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament, you won't find the word charity anywhere. But you will find free will offerings. Why were they having these free will offerings to the Levites all across the land? Why were the Levites in all these different towns? We talked about this in earlier shows in greater depth. And why in patterns of 10? Why do we see this deca and decate, decate in the Greek, and dekanos in the Latin, and decurius, and even up at the deans in the Lombards. Why do we see these tens all the time? Because this is how they organize themselves. In voluntary systems, yeah, they give charity, and they help take care of, because they're not just handing $20 bills out the car window to some bum on the street corner. They're actually working together to find out who, because, I mean, you only got so many $10 bills or $20 bills. You got to make sure that it goes to the best and most important part. I mean, God doesn't put, you know, so 5 quarts of blood in your body and say, you know, if you need blood anywhere, just jiggle until it gets there. No, there's a heart pumping it through veins and through capillaries. So get it to every crook and cranny of your body, because you only got so much blood, and it's got to do the job that it needs to do when it needs to do it. So he creates a system, and we call it a vascular system of arteries and veins. He creates a communication system called our nervous system. He's got a brain in your head, but most of you don't use but about 10% of it at the most. But there's a method, there's a system to the body. And that's why the body of Christ is called the body of Christ, because there's a system to it. And there's a spiritual element to all this. If you want to be a part of Christ's body, you have to conform to what he said and what Moses said. And you have to look out amongst yourselves and find men you trust, you know, like what we read back in Deuteronomy. And put them over this business of free will offerings to take care of the needy of your society through pure religion. What is pure religion? Visiting the sick and elderly and needy. And it's only pure if it's unspotted by the world. And all those religious groups we mentioned in the last show, or in the last half hour, I think I brought it up, they're not unspotted. They're very spotted. They're very much of the world and dependent upon the world and the people who exercise authority. And those people who exercise authority one over the other have ruling judges which they appoint. Go read Rome versus Us. We've got, go look at that. Your president is an appointer of gods. Just like Caesar was an appointer of gods. The apotheos. And you celebrate it in your Capitol dome. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to be brought up to speed. Join the network. People will help you. But you got to take time out for them if you expect them to take time out for you. Now, we can go into your houses, lay hands on you, and all this kind of stuff, but it isn't going to do any good for you in the long run if you do not repent and start taking care of the righteousness of those who come to serve and help. Are they helping? If they're not helping, tell them they're not helping. They can leave and go somewhere else where they can help. What is this works that they talk about in Revelations and in the New Testament over and over again? Judged according to your works. There's a word in the Old Testament. Avodah. You know, most Hebrew words are only 3 letters long. But occasionally, you'll find that they're 4 letters long. And there's a reason for that, why they're 4 letters long. And in this case, they add a hey on the end, which is an emphasis word. But this word abodah, it's often translated service. You know, almost 100 times it's translated service. But it's also translated servile. It's also translated work, which is a lot like service. But 8 times it's translated bondage. Bondage. Servitude. Tillage. Labor. Which labor could be service. So where do we find it? Well, we find it all over the place. I mean, it's in the Bible lots and lots of times. But, you know, in Exodus 2:23, it's translated bondage.
And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, Abota, that they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, Abota, which is this other word for service, which the ministers are supposed to provide. You see, in Egypt, all the gold and silver was in the hands of the government. Your land belonged to the government. Your labor belonged to the government, so therefore they could tax it. 20% of everything you did, the value of it had to go to the government. That's bondage. That was the bondage of Egypt. Now, when we were taken out of that, we were told never to return there. And if you ever make a constitution, you had to write in the constitution that the leaders had no power to bring you back into bondage. And they didn't until you started applying for benefits. It wasn't really in the Constitution saying they couldn't do it. Because in the Constitution it said you had a right to contract. So you had a right to apply for benefits. And the government could provide those benefits out of its surplus. And if the terms of that application was that they could take from you, or you agreed to the idea that they could take from others to provide for you, then they can take from you to provide for others. And you didn't have Joseph making the deal for you. And so they don't have to limit it to 20%, one-fifth. They can take 30%, 40%, 50%. In the case of Denmark, as we talked in the earlier show, they can take 80 or 90% of your labor. Even the head of the government accounting office said that the present rate, and we explain this in articles, of increase, that children born today, they will owe over 90% of all their labor to the government. Because you've chosen to go away contrary to the ways of Moses, Abraham, and Jesus Christ. In Exodus 6:9, and Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. The word bondage there, abota, which is supposed to be service, cruel service then. That's what they're saying, for cruel service. What do they mean, cruel service? What are they talking about, cruel service? You know, it's like, that word cruel is translated hard more often than cruel. Sore, grievous, it's also translated. Where do we see grievous, sore? It's in Revelation because of the mark of the beast. That it would give you a grievous sore. Well, that's the cruel abota, the cruel service. You see, because the fact you have the mark of the beast, you have it now. And by that mark, you get benefits. But by that mark, they get to take away from you. Because you deemed it was okay to take away from others. You deemed it was okay to bite your neighbor, because he's probably a rich guy, right? You don't know who he is, but, you know, they said they're going to take from the rich. And, of course, they do take from the rich, but they take most from the middle class. And you think that's okay as long as you get your benefit, your free school, your free health care, your free whatever. And so, therefore, you get to be devoured because you're getting to be more and more people who don't want to work. It takes me back to that rancher. They work. My grandkids, they're learning to work. They're pretty little, but they're working. They choose to do that. They choose to come over and help. It makes sense to them because they see that we live a life of helping one another. In Sweden, Norway, Germany, France,
They've been biting one another for so long that somebody can be being raped in a car, and they'll scurry by. They won't help. They won't come to their aid. It's a learned behavior. You know, the Nicolaitan and the error of Baal. What is that? People are conquered by their covetousness. That's what it is. They are conquered because they desire to take a bite out of one another, to eat that which was sacrificed to idols. The cruel abode. The forced abode. John the Baptist said, until John the Baptist, everybody thought forcing their neighbor to provide free education, forcing their neighbor to provide health care, forcing their neighbor to provide a fire department for them was okay. But John the Baptist said, no. You have to do this by charity, by sharing. Again, where do we know that this is what the Old Testament was doing? How can you see it any other way? Somebody is, you know, they want to know. They wanted to ask this question because they're trying to convince somebody else, I'm sure, who was asking, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say it not? Well, how are they functioning as a society? You know, when they were starving in the wilderness, there were some that had herds, big herds. They had to run those herds and butcher them to eat meat to survive because, I mean, you could only carry so many beans with you. You had to have food. And you're crossing the desert, so they had to eat of their flocks. You know, my 11-year-old could go out on the desert with 100 sheep. And 100 sheep is what? You know, it's 10,000 pounds of meat. And then some, because it's a renewable resource. So if he was to go out on the desert with all the food that he could carry, what is he going to carry? 50 pounds of beans? 100 pounds of rice? He can just walk along and travel with 10,000 pounds of meat. That's what the Israelites were doing. But they had to share. They had to share their flocks. How did they know how to do this? Through the tens, hundreds, and thousands, the contributions. Everybody shared what they needed to share to get by. They weren't being selfish. They learned what it meant not to be selfish. You have to go into all these socialist nations, including the United States and Australia, and teach the people how to repent of their selfishness and repent of their sloth. So you got selfishness and sloth. Everybody who is slothful should be under tribute. And if you're going to stay under tribute, you're going to find out you have less and less time. You're going to say, I got to do this and I got to do that. Because you've got years of sloth behind you. We haven't been seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Years ago, you should have formed congregations, started contributing and learning what it meant to take care of one another in the tens, hundreds, and thousands. Because you didn't do that, they're going to appoint people from the top down to make you contribute. And of course, thieves and robbers will break into their treasury and eat it up because you've been slothful in the ways of Christ. You have to come together. There is no other salvation than you lay down your life to save others. There is no other way to be a free society unless you come together and sacrifice your time, your energy, your egos, your vanity for others. Not just those that love you, because there is no grace in that. What grace is there if you only love those who love you? You must cast your bread upon the waters. You must seek the righteousness of God, not the tribe of this or the congregation of that or the denomination of this or that or this doctrine or that doctrine. If you're not taking care of your mother and your father, you're worse than a heathen. That's what it says in the Bible. Oh, infidel actually is the word they use. Infidel. You know what an infidel is? It's an unbeliever. You don't really believe. You can have all the doctrines you want and repeat all the, memorize all these Bible quotes. If you're not actually taking care of providing for, that doesn't mean living off of their Social Security check or living off of their labor. It means you're providing for them. You're not a believer. I don't care what your doctrine is. You're not a believer. Now, the bad news is that many of you qualify. Good news is that you can repent, change your thinking, start back the other way, and God will give you the energy and the courage and the strength to do what you need to do. But if you're going to be going around self-righteously judging others, expect to be judged. If you're going to go around self-righteously neglecting others, expect to be neglected. If you're going to go around being a zombie, expect to be destroyed by zombies. You're already destroyed. You're already dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Let's come alive. You know, one of the things that I always was impressed in the Bible with is that they talk about if you find yourself a surety for debt, that you had to repent, you had to turn around, you had to go this other way. And they said, you know, sluggard, you know, how long will you keep making excuses? But remember the ant. He doesn't have any leader, ruler, taskmaster whipping him. He just chooses to gather together and work together to get the job done. That they're telling you something. These are parables of the Old Testament. The Levites were to serve the tents of the tabernacle of the congregation. We talked about this before. And the tabernacles of the congregation are the tents of the congregation. That's why they were spread out in every village and court throughout the land. They weren't all at the big tent. They were out there serving the little tents of each family in pure religion. That's taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. Exodus 33:7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. But yet they talk about the camp being all around the tabernacle. These are metaphoric stories, and we could go into them, but we don't have enough time today, of how this is. But it's very clear, common sense will tell you. And that's why, you know, I wrote the book, Thy Kingdom Come, so that you start to see this. But I could have made it, you know, 1,000 pages long. But the fact is, this has to be written on your heart. You know, the making of books, there is no end. You're not going to see. You're going to remain blind guides, or maybe not even guides, just going to remain blind, follow blind guides, unless you start to turn around and actually put your repentance into action. Because it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, it's those who doeth the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that you love one another. And so they ask questions like, please provide references to verify these similar cell patterns were evident in the persecuted church. Well, you know, I've done that with the 12 and the 120. I've done that with the history of the Gauls and the Franks and the Teutons. It was common knowledge back then. But because we're not actually doing what Christ said, we're in the mire and we're sucking the life out of society. So people say, I just don't have time to care about my neighbor as much as I care about myself. I got to go,
you know, do all this stuff. I just cannot devote the time. It's a test, and you're failing the test. Your works are that of iniquity. And I beg you, repent, turn around, start coming together, start caring about one another enough to make the time. Because you're going to have more tasks ahead. It's going to be harder and harder to repent. Bad men cannot make good citizens. It is when the people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. A vitiated state of morals, a corrupted public conscience, is incompatible with freedom. No free government or blessing of liberty can be preserved to any people but by a firm adherence to justice, moderation, temperance, frugality, and virtue, by a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles. That's Patrick Henry, the guy who said, you know, this Constitution was written as if good men will take office. When bad men take office, they will steal your rights through ambuscade. And that's exactly what's happened. But it's only because you are willing to steal from your neighbor, take from your neighbor, covet your neighbor. All societies form groups. Elephants, they form groups. Wolves form groups. Dolphins form pods. Orcas. All these animals, lions, form their prides. It's just common sense. That's how it works. There was a story I talked about. There was a guy, Eric, who he weighed over 300 pounds, and he was dying. And finally, he got a middle-aged dog. That's what the dietitian said. Get a dog and start taking care of it. He started thinking about somebody else other than himself. That's why you gather, to start thinking about somebody else other than yourself. So start gathering. Until then, may peace be upon your house. And may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.